You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise.
And good morning, good morning. It's great to be back. Had a few days of time away with my wife and had a lot of great visits as we moved up the coast. It went all the way into North Carolina and had a few cooler days there. And that was quite nice. Traveling through South Carolina, I realized we need to pray for those who are experiencing what my son calls, he says, well, this is the armpit of the South. He says that because of the heat. He was in Columbia, South Carolina for some period of time. And we saw temperatures, in over 100, 102, 105. Yeah. And so it was kind of nice when I could see the skyline with some mountains in North Carolina. I'm like, we are going up and it's going to be cooler. But a lot of Floridians head north, and we ran into a lot of great friends, and that was great. And so it's good to be back. David, thank you for covering in my absence. And Karen was here. I understand we had some extremely great programming last week during Wednesday Live. Thank you very much.
Amen. It was great. Great to fill in.
It's great to go out of town and realize you're not needed. But then when it's time to come back, I kind of think, well, I wonder if I still have a place to come back to. We'll see. But
we'll let you come back.
And when you mentioned that to me when you first saw me after you'd come back, and my response, said, no, you're needed. God gave you a time away. I'm glad you had it. But you're still part of this team. You can't just wander off.
Just wander off.
We all bring something to the table, and you certainly bring anointings.
We're a great team, and thank God for all the staff here. And want to just again start this hour by encouraging you to make every day of the week at 11 o'clock a priority to listen into WCNO. At this point, Monday mornings, you start off, David.
Yep, 11 o'clock.
Great program.
The front line.
Front line, and you have some incredible guests. You have a great team that is with you, and you guys are plowing into some stuff.
The front line is wonderful. We have so many ministries available to us to interview.
Right.
People need to hear about them. Both at the national, state, and county, city level.
Sure.
And also have to give God the glory for the fact that he gets people to me, or somebody that's working with me, to find out who we need to set up on the interview schedule.
Right.
In fact, if you're listening now and you're thinking, I know someone in ministry locally that might have a great word for your listeners at WCNO, send an email, WCNO.com, to us. On the subject line, put David-the-front-line.
Good.
And give us your recommendation.
Excellent.
And then how we can reach them, and we'll do that.
Excellent. Now, that's Monday morning, 11
Monday
o'clock,
morning.
Front line. And before we go to Tuesday morning, we're going to skip it for a moment. And Karen, great to have you as a part of our team. And you have a great program on Fridays.
Yes, I do. Hidden Places, Fridays, 11 a.m., from 11 to 12. And...
You're not shaking in your boots anymore doing that, are you?
when the Lord gives you a task to do, that you hadn't thought of, then, you know, it's a little unnerving.
But a perfect fit, right?
At the start, yeah.
So tell us about Hidden Places.
Well, Hidden Places is, you know, based on Malachi 3:16-17, you know, where we are the Lord's treasured possessions, and that we will become those when we're in Christ. And the Lord has put treasures in each one of us, and he wants to extract those out of our lives. You know, he builds them. He takes the old, and we do away with the old man, and he makes us a new creation. So that's what we're focusing on, is what he's doing in each of our lives and what he is sharing with us, myself and my two co-hosts. And we're just sharing each week what the Lord is speaking to each one of us.
Do we have a peek into what's coming up on Friday this week?
Well, as I always say, we have no plans.
Yeah, but God does.
You sure hope God has a plan,
no
right?
No plans, no agenda. And, okay. You know, and when we did the 4th of July program, I knew the Lord spoke to me, do something about the 4th of July. I was just going to mention, you know, a couple little things about it, and then we were just going to carry on. But it ended up, you know, so I had asked Nanette and Deanne and our brother Sean. I had met with them earlier. I'd met with them on Sunday, and I said, you know, you guys, we need to pre-record our 4th of July program. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, well, you know, I got to go. I got stuff to do. And so they said, okay, we'll do it. So I had the night before just printed some stuff off of the website about the Constitution and various things. So as I was reading through it, I'm like, oh, my word, I can't remember all this stuff. But I gave them a couple of things, and they hadn't planned on talking about the Constitution or the Declaration. But you know, the Lord is so gracious. But I just printed out some papers, and then I highlighted stuff that I felt we could talk about. And those guys, the three of them, just went with what was there, and it was the Holy Spirit. And when I listened back to the program, I was like, oh, my word. Because we're in here going, what are we talking about?
Do you ever have those thoughts? God, you are really impressive.
I know. Yes.
What you can do with us.
But it's like when you're here doing it, it's like, you know, we're looking at each other like, you know, just this is crazy. But, you know, we're just leaning on the Holy Spirit and allowing him to use each one of us and speak through our lives. Not scripted, not programmed. So we can give him all the glory for everything that happens. And that's really the bottom line.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Dave, you also have a Tuesday program.
Yes, A Biblical Response.
It is fiery hot.
Oh, man. We had a suspicion when we were sharing the vision, you and I talking back and forth about it, that it might get people's attention. But I'd have to say that the vision God has given this radio station, which when you came on, God intended for you to begin articulating that, and we were already on board, right?
Yes.
And so all together in the Holy Spirit, to be, not that we weren't being truthful before, but this is a new season of bringing God's truth right to the listener on every issue that God wants us to be aware of. And so
it's current event. It's current today. Events. It's what's happening. Yeah,
it is. And encouraging the church to get involved in the culture and the politics
to engage.
Of the culture.
Yep.
Because that's Great Commission stuff. That's what God wants us to do. But yet, you know, from time to time, we've gotten some pushback from our listeners. And you know, honestly, we'd like to hear from everybody, including people that don't agree with that. But we're moving forward in that. So the front line, the biblical response deals with maybe one or two issues that have popped up in the news that are creating consternation among the assembled host, you know, that, you know, the painful stuff. It's the political chaos. It's the lies trying to guide our people into darkness. It's everything. It's a great challenge living in the world today, not just in America.
Sure.
But so we try to pick things and that we know are challenging because they're challenging to us and look at them, do some background as much as we can, but then the real background is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And we're not, by the way, cherry picking for our own interests. we really have a heart to hear God say, this is what I'm saying about that issue and what I want you to know. I will tell you, we prepare for every program. The day ahead, on Monday afternoon at 1:30, we all get together on our phones for a WhatsApp visual meeting. And that, I've likened it to several things, but I have to tell you, and I relate to Karen's stuff, it's like getting four blind people in a large room and having them find food items to prepare a meal. And that is kind of how we get started, is we look at what's going on, and we have different, it's all very raw though, you know. And at the end of that call, which is about an hour, sometimes a little more, you know, we have, okay, we got something we can work with, and then we have our little tasks, you know, but then we come together again maybe a half an hour before the program, Tuesday around 10:30, whatever. And then we lay it all out, what we've done that far. We pray, of course, in the beginning. Sure. And then Holy Spirit, again, like with you, Karen, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Is we'll, like yesterday's program, if you were listening, and this was on, we started with the communist, Marxist, socialist, Democratic candidate in New York City for the mayoral seat, and led us to looking at Marxism and, it, of course, socialism, communism are its philosophical children, and how bad all of that is, and how throughout the country we have socialist leaders in cities anyway, but this is a step up, you know, and how that is, it's just, anyway, not to go into detail because I want to do the program again, but the point was is that when we finished our call on Monday, you know, there was still a lot of amorphous stuff we didn't have it nailed down. We got together yesterday. I'd done some research on the background, and everybody else was kind of saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to say, you know, but we all had done some praying and stuff. So when we got rolling and the Holy Spirit just started moving, and people that, the one person that said, I don't know what I'm going to say, had a tremendous amount to say once the Spirit got us going. Yeah. Now, it is controversial. We had people call and say, I don't want you to do that again. You know, shut the program down. Because and I would say, you know, we understand that. We appreciate that. We even grieve for you if you're grieving because of where we're going. But we're really doing what the Lord told us to do, and the Scriptures bear it out.
Well, Dave, we need to, and I like for you and Karen to talk about your programs on Wednesday Live so people know what else is going on during the week, because this really is our roundtable where we get to kind of talk about WCNO and what God is doing here, along with bringing guests in, which we have one that's going to be arriving in just a few moments. But the name of the program, A Biblical Response, is exactly what's taking place here.
Right.
You know, this is not a, and you can put in whatever news channel you typically listen to, or the one that you would choose not to listen to. We are not seeking here to address things from a secular, worldly perspective, but we're looking to see and to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to bring forth what God has to say.
Amen.
About what's happening right now in our land. So there is biblical truth to give guidance and direction to the questions that people have. And so this is not a political program.
No.
It addresses political situations. It addresses things that are going on. And literally, I think what Dr. Cho said many years ago, somebody asked him, how do you develop your messages? And he said, well, the news media ask the questions, but they don't have the answers.
Yeah, true.
So they ask the questions. They'll tell a story and say, well, you know, we really don't understand why this person did that or why this happened or why that calamity happened or something else. But he said, when we open the Word of God, we're now dealing with truth. And so it's not my traditions. It's not what I've grown up with. It's not my personal preferences. But it's, I choose to want to hear, what does God say about this in His Word? Mm. And so I understand that the Word of God can step on our toes, but don't take it personal. You know, when I open up the Word of God, I know that what God has, sometimes it's surgical.
It might
do some chopping or cutting, you know, Karen's our chop person here. But the Holy Spirit does that. There are things in our life that just need to be addressed. Some of our traditions, some of our family customs, some of the things that are strongholds in our life, they need to be addressed. And so if we've been fed, and I heard this on your program a bit yesterday, who are you feeding? Where are you feeding? Who are you listening to? Mm-hmm. Who are you following? And so if you're receiving food from unbelievers, you might want to just say, you know, in a sense, the unbelievers may be super smart. They may have a great training, education, a lot of other things. But if they don't have biblically balanced word for the foundation in their life, it's sort of like feeding out of a garbage can. I hate
pretty
to
much.
Say that.
Yeah.
But and all of us have done that. I'm not saying that any one of you are that person, so don't, you know, if you have a rock to throw, go ahead and pitch it today. But, you know, my point is that all of us are growing. When Jesus said, I will build my church.
Amen.
And I've been involved in construction, and sometimes you have to destruct before you construct. You have to clean up, you have to prepare, you have to lay foundations. There's a lot that has to be done. And so God is building us. And so don't get angry when God steps on your toes. Say, hallelujah, this is for my good. God is building me up. I'm going to grow. And so, Dave, I thank you for the program you do. We do have some mail. We want to jump into it. And so share with us what you have, Dave. I think you have a couple things there.
Well, I've got first a prayer request from our good brother, Celestin.
Celestin, good friend.
We want to continue praying for him, brother.
We do.
He just speaks generally about he's in a difficult situation right now. I think some of it's financial, but it's not entirely that way. But he's asking for continued prayer, and we want to join you, Celestin, in that. So I'd invite our listeners to follow along and join us in prayer. Father God, we lift up our brother Celestin to you.
Yes,
and
Father,
you acutely know every issue in his life that's causing difficulty right now. And we know that he has come to you in prayer.
Yeah.
He has gone into the Word for guidance and peace. And he trusts you to move in his life relative to these concerns in your most perfect timing. We are joining him, Father, in this prayer. We're trusting you as he trusts you. And just lifting up our brother Celestin for your Holy Spirit to move in every area of his life that is an area of distress and discomfort and pain, and to restore him to bring to him what he needs. If it's money, if it has to do with relationships, if it has to do with physical health, whatever it is, Lord, in your time, you know when the timing is right. Move powerfully. To restore him, to fill him, and to deliver him from every anxiety, every fear, every issue that comes out of the darkness. And we know you can and will and are. And we come in faith to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I just want to say, Celestine, hope you're listening, but I feel like the Lord is saying to you to stand still and see the salvation of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
And
it's good.
Looking that scripture up.
That's good. That's good. What do you have, Karen?
We have our friend Marilee, excuse me, up in Vero Beach, sent us a nice little card and with a prayer on it that I'll read real quick.
Okay, good.
And it's a Thanksgiving prayer. Father, we bow before you, humbly grateful for your abundant blessings. We know you are the source of all good things in our lives, and we thank you. Let us walk worthy of your love, Lord, by sharing with others the beauty you have entrusted to us, the bounty you've entrusted to us. May your love shine through us to a world in need. Amen. And then there's a reference to 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers.
That's awesome.
So praise God.
And it does sound like a Southerner there, too, you all.
You all. Yeah.
Run it together and say
y'all.
That's important.
All right. Good. Dave, what else do you have?
Well, I've got some releases from the Martin County having to do with advisory board committee
opportunities for the church
to
for
get
people
involved.
To get involved in local government.
And I'll give a cursory review of each.
Good.
And
okay.
The names of how you can get for more information.
Okay.
The first one is the Airport Noise Advisory Committee vacancies. We chuckled about it. We don't think they want to increase it.
That's probably for people who have good hearing.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And there are several positions open. I don't know how many. They're looking for representatives from any industry, trade group, or airport tenant, aircraft owner who has aircraft based at Witham Field, and resident within a 2-mile radius of the airport. And so they must be Martin County residents.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Well, I think those are the criterion for membership. But how many? I don't know how many vacancies. So that's that. And then we have the community. This is a long one, so listen closely. Community Development Block Grant Citizen Advisory Task Force.
Woo! Boy, that's a mouthful.
Man, that's a mouthful and a half.
Now, what is that actually?
Well,
what do they do?
Keep in mind, all these advisory committees advise the Martin County commissioners. But
okay.
This, they advise them on the application or the expenditure of grant money. In terms of the community development, certain areas that are covered by grant money to develop, to improve. So you must be a resident of unincorporated Martin County and shall be from low to moderate income households. That's the people they're going to be looking at on this committee. And let's see, task force should be representative of the community in regard to age, sex, race, and length of residence. So they like a variety of...
So there are some guidelines there.
Got some guidelines there, right. Then the next committee is the Historic Preservation Board.
Yeah, some people would maybe want to be on that board.
I'm kind of historic. I've been around for a while. I could use some preservation.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so now someone will really want to help me with that. Please don't.
Did you say historic or prehistoric?
Some days I do feel like prehistoric. So what they need is an architect with professional or educational experience related to historic preservation. However, appointments should be made at the sole discretion of the Board of County Commissioners. This is a 4-year term.
All right.
Lastly, I didn't read this before, Neighborhood Advisory Committee vacancies. And this is maybe a broader framework in the county.
So all of those are through Martin County.
Martin County.
Listeners, this is Martin County opportunities for people to get involved. What is the contact information for more information on any of those?
You can do one of two things. You can either call Donna Gordon.
Okay.
And her number at the administration office is 772-288-5756. Or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us.
Okay. You know, maybe one of these times we could get Donna Gordon actually on air.
Wouldn't that be great?
Call her and let her know that we promote. And it's nice, you know, that the county keeps us posted on what's going on. And if you're in Palm Beach County and in the government there, St. Lucie, Indian River County, Okeechobee, or even down south further, and would like to have some of the local government opportunities for volunteers, et cetera, to be promoted on this station, then why not send that information to WCNO@WCNO.com? Because these come as emails, you know,
yes.
And so we get these directly from our local government. We like to promote them. And so we would like to promote what's going on in your area as well.
Amen.
As well. We could do that. All right. Well, David, thank you for all of those reports.
Sure.
And we do have a guest that's going to be joining us here in just a moment. But I wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you that make this ministry possible. We are listener supported, and we talk about that during our prayer and share times when we actually come to you. We do a mail out a couple times a year, and we ask you to prayerfully become a part of this ministry along with prayer with a contribution. And so that happens in April. It happens in October. We're kind of, you know, halfway or so, and it's summer, and you might be wondering, well, how is that going? You may give monthly, maybe you gave at one time, or maybe you haven't given yet, and you wanted to, and you just, maybe you never sent in that response card, but you wanted to be a part of this this ministry. And I wanted to just say a huge thank you to all of you that make this happen. Mm-hmm. If you go on our webpage, you will find a thermometer that gives you a bit of a pulse on where we are with the raising of funds that are needed for this ministry to be here. And when you look at that thermometer, it's going to give you a total that we're looking to cover 6 months of listener support, and then it will show you where we actually are today. Well, when I went out of town, we were at 147,786. That's where we left that, and that was on the way toward our $225,000 budget, which is necessary to cover our expenses. Upon returning this morning, I'm able to give a hallelujah that we right now have broken over $200,000, actually has come in. We're at $204,783 as of this morning, and that's a praise God. And so we want to thank all of you that have given. We're not at 225 yet, but we're well on our way. And so if you have not yet given, thank you so much for prayerfully considering to go ahead and send in that donation. If you give month to month, that is awesome, and those get added in as we month to month, as the mail comes in, we add that in. We keep the totals there, so you can always look and see where we are. And if you're just praying and seeking God and you want to be a part of a great ministry, why not prayerfully consider, if you haven't yet, becoming a part of WCNO? And so we would love to hear from you. And the phone number here, how can people reach us, David, if they wanted to call? Of course, you can go online at any time as well.
Of course, yeah, but the phone number is a good one because you get us alive here.
Yes.
During 9 to 5, usually.
Hopefully alive.
Hopefully alive, yeah. Hopefully. Some days it's questionable. But 772-221-1100. Now, let's do that again. 772-221-1100. That's the number.
That's the number. And you can send your prayer requests. Go online. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us your prayer requests, your praise reports. And from time to time, we get phone calls and are able to bring some of you on air. Just give some of your God story and testimony, and that's a blessing as well. I do want to send a shout out to the family of Ruth Moore. Ruth Moore is with the Lord now. However, she did something before she went home to heaven. She made a huge investment out of her estate to this ministry. And that investment was a donation of $30,000. That $30,000, It carried us a long ways toward raising our operational budget. It was huge. And so we want to thank all of, there may be family members that are listening and others that have thought about what you can do, not just while you're living, but Ruth is with the Lord. But she is, through her gifts, through her sacrificial donation to this ministry, she is going to be used of the Lord to continue to touch lives and see lives changed. And you might want to do something like that. You might want to say, well, I give to my church, I give to missions, and I give to WCNO. But I would like to let that ministry continue even after I've gone on to heaven, and leave a legacy behind, plant some seed behind, reach some other lives. And you can do that by remembering this ministry in your will or trust. And so you can talk to your attorney about that. And if your attorney is not familiar with that, your CPA probably can help you as well in some of that planning. But it is a huge blessing to us to realize that God has put on people's hearts to stand with this ministry so that it can continue to be here even after perhaps I'm gone. You know, Ray Cass is the founder of this ministry. Ray's been with the Lord for a number of years. But here we are in the studio that he put together, and he had faith and vision that somebody would come along behind him and help pay the bills and keep the lights on and get the gospel out.
Amen.
And so you are a part of that team. Thank you so very much. Mm. And please ask God what he would have you do in reference to making an investment from your estate, your will, your trust, making an investment into this ministry that would be significant. All right, we're going to go to a song. We're going to be back. We have a guest that's going to be joining us in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about a new program that's coming up. And Karen, do you remember the name of the program?
I do remember the name, and the name is Follow His Sandals.
Follow His Sandals. And so if you want to hear a little more about that and that program that's coming up, then stand by. We will get to that in just a few minutes. This song is No Fear, No Fear, No Fear Here.
I am not alone.
All right, no fear. And that is exactly where we stand as the body of Christ. Perfect love cast out fear. That's a pretty great thing to have going on in our life, to have the perfected love of God happening. All right, and we do have one announcement I failed to make earlier today, and you're going to be hearing more of this from us here on WCNO because it is a big deal. There's going to be a tremendous night of prayer called the Treasure Coast, not the National, but the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. It's going to be taking place on September the 25th, so you have time to get it on your calendar. It's going to start at 6 p.m. There's going to be a gathering of spiritual leaders from the Treasure Coast of Florida that are going to begin at 6 o'clock praying over the Treasure Coast specifically. And this is going to take place at Palm City New Hope. It's sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And following that time of prayer from 6 to 7, we have a one-night only guest, Paul Wilbur, that's going to lead us in an I Will Stand with Israel conference that night, an intercession as we pray for Israel as a nation and the Jewish people as God's chosen covenant people. And so this is going to be a tremendous night. It's going to be a night of prayer. It's going to be a night of worship. It's going to be a night of anointed music. It's going to be a night of transformation. So put that on your calendar, September the 25th. And incidentally, you can go online. You can get a ticket. We're just looking to cover cost with a donation of $10, which is unheard of. But and we only have, I think, 700 seats. So we're looking to pack the place absolutely, totally out. Most of our events recently, we've had 1,000, 1,500 or more people coming to our events. And so this is going to be a tremendous night, tremendous night. So you're going to want to be there. If you have a group that is wanting to come in together, you could probably do that and get seats if you make some arrangements. You can call this number, 772-724-9313, 772-324-9313. Or you can go to TCC Alliance. That's for Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, TCCAlliance.com. And this program, Wednesday Live, is sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. So thus, we're bringing you information about what's coming up. I want to welcome Dave Hansen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Glad to be here. I really appreciate it.
Great to have you back in studio, and this week, it's getting ready to happen.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And yeah. So Karen already gave the name of the program. Give that again, Karen. You just put a really nice, exciting emphasis on it.
Follow His Sandals.
That's correct.
Correct.
Follow His Sandals.
I got it right.
Follow His Sandals. So David, God's put this on your heart. To come in here and minister. We sort of started striking a relationship many, many months ago, and it's been awesome. Ended up with a little recording of one of your teachings, and we listened to it as a team. And we had moments where we had a chuckle, and we had moments where we had an amen, and we had moments where we said, you know what? God's anointed this guy. He's got something to say.
Thank you.
And so here we are, and this is the week it's going to happen. I mean,
this
we've
Friday,
been talking
yes.
a long time. So Friday at what time? Give us a little promo on your program and
Friday,
what's going to happen.
Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern. Mm-hmm. It'll be a half an hour long. I'm very excited about it. My heart with this was always to get to the point where Christians as a unit, we don't just follow everybody else. We follow the Lord Jesus. And I think one of the things I've seen in Christian circles I've supported through the years is that, you know, sometimes the disagreements between us stop us from being unified, and that cannot be what the will of God is. It cannot be what Jesus wants. We are the body of Christ. We're not the 47 bodies of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And I think what the Lord Jesus wants is not us fighting together all the time, but working together to build each other. And that's what this is going to be about, exciting to help put practical keys to building disciples, not just for other people, but for ourselves. Because when Jesus wanted all men to be, you know, all to be discipled all nations, we're part of all nations, which means the one disciple upon whom I have the most effect is me. So if Jesus wants all nations to be disciples, the number one guy I can start with is me. So we're going to look at practical keys to being better disciples, and then also how to help others. So we'll be getting into all kinds of great stuff about that. A lot of Bible verses that we'll be sharing, and I'll read them slowly and announce what they are. But we're going to be using the New King James Version of the Bible because, you know, it's easy to understand, it's easy to get, and it's similar to the old King James, the original King James, and that should help people with it, I think. So,
okay.
But that was the plan with that. But the other part of it, too, is we want to get people, our Christian brothers and sisters, reading the Bible ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible was not just for pastors. It was for all of us to read the Bible and know. And, you know, as pastors, we help other people understand things if we need to, if they have questions, certainly. But the goal is for all of us to be better at reading our Bibles, to understand what God wants for me, for everyone else. See, and I think it'll be exciting. It should be a lot of fun.
That's tremendous, and I love the emphasis on the Word of God. I'm currently reading again. I don't know. I don't think I'd pick this book up in probably 30 years. But Watchman Nee, Releasing the Spirit, had not looked at that in many, many years. And I remember the first time I picked it up, I thought, what in the world is this guy talking about? You know, but he was talking about how the Spirit of God is released through our lives. How does that happen? And I can just remember some of my thoughts reading this, where he was talking about being broken and how God wants to work through our lives, wants to speak through our lives. And how can that happen unless the old hard, for me, it would be the McLean shell, you know, I drag into the kingdom with me all these traditions and thoughts and mindsets and all of these thoughts of being so perfectly grounded in God that if everybody was just more like me, no. So, you know, his point, Watchman Nee's point was, even in reading the Word of God, we go to the Word of God and we know it's truth. Right. But it's also alive, mm-hmm. and the Spirit of the Lord is released through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so I love what is on your heart from our first conversation, when you begin to just share how it's important that the body of Christ begins to purposefully develop relationships and a love mm-hmm. for one another,
right.
and an actual action plan to connect and build each other up. I love that. Where did that come from? Well, who is Dave Hansen? Yeah. How did you meet Jesus? Tell us. I mean,
it's interesting. I'll never forget this. I was 17 years old, like 1,000 years ago, give or take. And,
I was walking. You're humble.
Sometimes I feel older, so we'll see. But I'm walking up the stairs of my house. We have 18 stairs where I grew up. I was on the sixth one from the top, and the Lord said, go down to the end of the street and wait on the corner. And I had never had the Lord talk to me before. I didn't know what was going on, but the voice
was this said, audible?
I don't think it was audible, but it seemed audible inside my head.
You so heard it.
I definitely heard it.
You heard God
speak
to you.
Whether somebody else heard it or not, I definitely heard it. So I walked down the 12 steps, went to the corner, and I'm waiting there thinking to myself, what in God's name am I doing here? It's 10:30 at night on a Thursday.
Oh, wow.
You know? I'm like, what is wrong with me here? And I'm just about to turn around and leave, and this gentleman drives up, and he was our high school's basketball star, and he was a friend of my brother, you know, so I knew this guy pretty well. He was famous in our town for being a great basketball player. Hmm. Well, of course, I was an aspiring basketball player, never in his league at all, but you know, chance to talk to him about basketball was great. And he kept bringing it to Bible. I'm talking basketball. He's talking Bible. I'm talking basketball. Finally, I agreed. We talked about Bible. And he just had answers for things. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I was brought up in a major denomination but didn't understand a lot of the Bible.
Right.
And he had answers. Mm. And we talked and talked. He invited me to a meeting at his church. And I went, and they were a Bible-believing church. They were serious about it. And it was fantastic, and the rest is history. A lot of the churches I've been involved with are home-based. They have home church cells, like they call them. And I like that because that allows you to meet people in a small enough group where you can know what they're doing. So, you know, yeah. Someone says, you know, how you doing? I'm fine. Are you really fine, or are you just saying that because I'm being polite? You know,
yeah.
No, I'm
yeah.
really, I got a problem in my life. I need this mm-hmm. taken care of. Okay. And that's where the one-on-one with people began, I think. And eventually I was ordained to the ministry years ago. But one of the things I've thought of, you're reading the church epistles of the Bible, there's all these references, you know, love one another, teach one another, encourage one another,
sure.
admonish one another.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Who's
and
the one
another? And even correct.
Yeah. And who's the one another? It's all of us. It's not just Dave doing it or the pastor doing it. It's all of us doing it. And that's our goal here, is to get all Christians to rise up and be follow Jesus more closely, however that looks. And, of course, the scriptures will be where our basis for everything, and we'll go through different things. But what I've thought about this, I've prayed about it a lot. One of the words that keeps coming to my mind is unleash. Yeah, I went to this great church not far from where we are here today, and great pastor, assistant pastor, great guys. They're very invigorating and everything. And yet when I looked out the audience, there's this great audience of people, and they're sitting, receiving, and I thought, we need to unleash. They have ministries.
Right.
You know, we need to unleash them. The Bible says in Romans 12, we all have giftings. Well, if we're not using them, they're just sitting there dormant. And here I am, this beautiful crowd full of people. And I'm thinking, what ministries are there that we're not using? We need to unleash them, let them serve and give, and you know, however that looks. So I'm excited about it. Hopefully it'll bless some folks. Hope you listening will enjoy it, and look forward to Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in talking with you, I know discipleship is a huge, huge vision that's in your heart, that people should not just be informed.
Right.
But they should be activated in their giftings, and those giftings that God has given is really not – those giftings are not designed to be stuck on a shelf somewhere
exactly
or in a cupboard
right.
someplace. I know,
exactly
Karen,
right.
with your program, part of what you do with Hidden Places is you're looking to sort of drag some of these
right.
unseen kingdom heroes
yeah.
and encourage other people that may be – sitting on their precious promises, you know, you know, somewhere, you know, on, we used to have pews, now we don't so much anymore,
yeah.
but, and actually being called into the field. Jesus didn't say, come and listen to me.
Right.
Yeah. He said, come follow me.
Amen.
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 And so when you talk about discipleship, and I know this is really important in your mind, what is a disciple of Jesus Christ?
Well, a disciple is not just someone that comes to church every Sunday. You know, that's nice.
Mm.
But a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. In other words, what would Jesus want me to do? Today's Monday. It's not church day. Well, okay. But can I still serve Jesus? Absolutely. You know, I was reading a record the other day in Acts. I think it's Acts 19. I got to read Acts more to get tighter on it. But there's a place where Paul and 12 guys, they take the word over all of Asia Minor in 2 years and 3 months. Now, in order to do that, there would have been churches all over that area. And those churches, there wouldn't have been cathedrals or anything. It would have been just home churches, basically.
Sure.
But I thought, who's running them? Well, local people. But all of these people were not even in the Word 2 years and 3 months ago.
Yeah.
They're all new since then, but they are running churches. And I thought to myself, that's the vision. You know, why can't we all run churches? You know, there may not be a need for it in a particular area, but the idea should be, hey, if I can help somebody, I'm sitting somebody with Panera Bread, if I can help them with a scripture or two, wouldn't that be great? You know, and that's kind of where I've been going with it. Is someone, you know, what does Jesus want me to do? You know, we know to love God, love our neighbor, right? We know those two great commandments. How does that manifest in a day-to-day life? How do I love God? You know, how do I love my neighbor? What do I do? Mm. Well, I help that individual, you know, and maybe part of loving my neighbor is not saying a word, just shutting up. But a lot of times it's going to be getting engaged with the person and talking to them, finding out where their heart is, what's going on, and praying. Got a call from an old friend of mine, old Christian pastor that I've been friends with for 100 years, and same thing. He's got a situation in his life now. So I thought, well, you know, we're going to pray hard for this because God needs that man's ministry.
Amen.
You know? And,
amen.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it'll be fine, too. I really do. He's very positive about it, and he's really good at this. So hopefully, I'm sure he'll be fine. But that's my vision for it, is that we all become more committed to doing what Jesus wants.
Yeah.
Does Jesus want me at church on Sunday? Yeah, probably. That's probably what he wants me to do. Okay, what about Monday? What about Wednesday? What about Friday? Well, maybe there's a Bible study. Maybe there's this. Maybe there's that. Or maybe it's just me at work, you know, loving people, you know.
Yeah.
One of the greatest compliments I ever got was this woman named Debbie in Rhode Island, 800 years ago, because a long, long time ago, I was in the faith. I was running a home church, and I worked with this young lady who was a temp. And I just trying to bless her and help her as we go on thing. And one time she looks at me and she goes, you know, if Jesus Christ were alive today, I think he'd be a lot like you. And I thought, I was very humble, obviously. Like,
wow.
Clearly, she doesn't know me very well. but bless her heart. I mean, it was really a very kind thing to say. And I thought to myself, but that's how we all should. That's, you know, Jesus Christ is the firstborn.
What a great target.
Brethren.
What exactly, a great target to
exactly,
say.
If someone could do that, if, you know, that helpful to somebody. Because, you know, Jesus, so many times in his ministry on earth, so many times he'd say or do the exact right thing. Wouldn't he to help somebody?
Yes.
You know, and I thought to myself, you know, why can't we walk like that? Jesus Christ said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall we do, because I go to my Father. He mm-hmm. went to his Father, so here we are. What are those greater works? How does it manifest? So that's what we're going to be exploring. It should be a lot of fun. It won't all happen on Friday. It'll take a few weeks to get some of this stuff, but hopefully it'll bless y'all, and look forward to, you know, hope he'll get here and enjoy it.
So Friday at
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock will be your opening program. This will be a weekly program on Fridays, and
the maiden voyage, if you will.
There you go. We're getting started, and you know, thinking about the whole aspect of discipleship, and you're talking about the individual believer being able to function as a visible, speaking, walking, talking representation of Jesus. I mean, literally. And I know the kids' book, you know, What Would Jesus Do?
Yeah.
That so many years ago really became quite popular. And a lot of people asked that question, what would Jesus do? We still need to do that.
Yeah.
And then one day I saw a bumper sticker that said, now that we know, let's do it. and your thing is, we need to know. You know, we need to inquire. We need to have you started by saying, okay, you're climbing up the steps and God speaks to you.
Oh, well, I don't finish the story. Sorry. But I'm waiting at the corner, and this guy, I'm just wondering why I'm sitting on the corner. You know, I'm standing here waiting. Why? It's 10:30 at night. And this guy drove up. We got chatting. And again, he's my basketball idol. So, of course, that was very important to me. But he eventually convinced me that the Bible was more important than basketball. A big lesson for me in those days.
Wow.
But he was right, of course. And what I loved about it was he wasn't just trying to preach to me in the sense, as much as he was trying to give me answers and to help me guide me on what I wanted to do for God and for Jesus. And it was, I'll be thankful to this man forever.
So that was an example. God was able to instruct you and illustrate exactly what it meant to be a disciple.
Right. And this guy showing up at the exact same time. I mean,
so he's driving, he's in a car, he just pulls up and...
Yeah, he's going in a different... He was going somewhere else. He wasn't coming to my house or anything, but I was
so
on the
corner. So he saw you?
Yeah, I pulled over, and he had just come from church. So he was telling me all the great things that had happened, and he invited me to come that following Sunday, and I did.
Wow.
And yeah, it was life-changing, you know, and...
But isn't that awesome? You think about... And we may have some listeners today saying, oh, God doesn't do that. God does this. Well, I mean, the woman at the well, it's not like incidental or accidental that she was going to get water at that very moment. At that very moment. And here in a culture where men did the ministry, a lady goes out. a lady of the night, really, you go, okay, she's well known in town, not for being she's not a biblical scholar, you know.
Probably not Florence Nightingale.
No, but, you know, God was able to use her to literally bring a community to an awakening. That's tremendous, and that's simply someone out of their own sin and sinfulness and brokenness and their own need, God is able to speak through them, and that is the awesome thing.
You know, I love that record. It's John chapter 4. I love the record because it says that Jesus was tired and hungry.
Yes.
When I'm tired and hungry, that's not usually when I want to talk to people.
Right.
I mean, he asked the lady for water, and the lady starts engaging him. He could have said, I don't want conversation. I want water, please.
Right. You know? Sure.
But because he engages her, the whole thing happens. And again, a bunch of people come in from the town and everything, and it's an amazing spiritual victory for the Lord because of it. But all because Jesus loved like that. He was loved enough to overcome his own discomfort to get done what needed to get done in the situation. I love that record exactly. And of course, God's involved with that kind of thing to do it so well, you know, to be so perfect. You know, I love that.
And here you are many years later, and God is still speaking out of that evening where that young man also heard God in some way because he showed up on that corner and he actually stopped.
Right.
Yeah. And engaged in conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today, where are you, our listeners? You're listening today. Where are you? Are you mindful of the fact that God is perhaps speaking to you today to be that person that's on the corner? You may be on the corner and God put you there because he has something to say to you, or you may be the person in the car
that is
able to help someone else, right? So this is the kingdom of God. This is the way the kingdom of God grows and advances, and it's quite awesome. Oh. So for the pastor that's going, oh, no. If we encourage the body of Christ to all become functioning, functioning parts of the body of Christ, what am I going to be left to do?
Well, you know, and that's it's funny you say that because I've had that discussion with pastors
I'm
before,
sure you
and,
have.
It comes up and they're like, well, no, they can't be trusted with this. And I'm like, right. Well, the Lord trusted us with this. And, you know, the original 12 apostles, they weren't theologians. They didn't go to theological seminary.
Sure.
They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're just guys, you know?
Yeah.
And yet they became to the point where they were able to, you know, minister and teach and help people and heal people and do great things. And I think that the point is that God wants all of us to be engaged with him. That's the key, you know? And I've told pastors, look, you're not hurting your church. What you're doing is you're spreading the wealth around. I was in a pastor's meeting in Boston years ago, and this guest speaker, he came, and my friend and I went, and to a man, no women this time, to a man, every one of these guys was discouraged, disappointed, and I thought, and the reason was, as they would get sharing, is that nobody else did anything. They did everything. Yeah. They did all the teaching. They set up the chairs. They, you know, and I thought, that was never the plan. But it's also not just the plan that, okay, I want my believers to get involved, so set the table up, get the coffee ready. That's nice, but it's more than that. It's ministering. It's helping people grow. And then those people who grow will come to your church and grow more, and you'll be able to, you know, preach more deep Bible to them because they're ready to hear it now because they've been instructed. Everybody grows. You know, when the believers grow, everyone grows. It's just great for them. The whole church flourishes. And I thought, too, that's when you get people. You know, I live my life. I go to Panera. I go to Publix. I go whatever. But I don't meet everybody in Palm City. But you know what? The more we minister to people, they meet people. You know,
sure.
And, you know, people that I've gotten in the Word through the years were people in my life's in my circle. Well, we all have people in our circle. Maybe it's not my job to win this guy, but someone in the church, it's her job because she's friends with him already. That's how the church grows, and that makes life so much easier that way, and it helps the pastors out. You focus on guiding the church, equipping the saints, like Ephesians 4 talks about. Equip the saints. Let the saints do the work of the ministry and edify the body of Christ. It's a lot easier than the pastor having to do all the work himself.
Okay, I have David Hansen with me in studio along with David and Karen today, and we are just talking about his the call of God that's on your life, his call, your call, and God's reached out to you and called you and said, I want to expand the reach of what I put in your heart. And so that's going to be taking place this coming Friday?
Friday, yep.
What time?
4 o'clock Eastern.
Four o'clock, and it's going to be a program you're going to want to tune into. It's going to be quite great. David, one other thing I want to just bring up. We just have a couple minutes left. You're also an author.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about your book.
Well, same kind of thing. I knew this couple. They were prophets. This man and his wife were both prophets, and I invited them to come to my home church and teach one day. Well, after the meeting, both of them gave prophetic words to me that it had to be the Lord because I didn't know them that well. They didn't know me that well.
Sure.
And yet one of the husband said, love, love, love. And that got me thinking, I've always wanted to teach not just love in the sense of, oh, I love you. Yeah, that's nice, you know. In our culture, we use the word love like very much. I love pizza. You know, I love chocolate. Love the Red Sox, whatever. You know,
ice cream, you left that
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Gotta have ice cream. Especially after the pizza. Yeah,
right.
You know, with the chocolate on it, too.
Sure.
But the word love doesn't mean that. It really means to get engaged and take care of people, you know, and we'll talk about that in the show. But my book is called Loving Your Neighbor. I use my pen name, which is Reverend Dave Boston. That is the name of my book, and it's available on Amazon. But it's a practical guide on how to love, how to keep the second great commandment.
I love your neighbor.
You know, how do we do this? You know, how does it look? How does it look practically? You know, and why? And it starts with having the right heart, the heart to love, to care about somebody else. You know, when Jesus was asked about his neighbor, loving the neighbor, he brought up the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yeah. And with that, you know, what did the Good Samaritan do? He didn't just see the guy die and go, man, what a bad day for you, bro. Look at
Right.
You should have stayed home, big man.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, and I'm sure, you know, but what did he do? He went in, he engaged him, he took care of his wounds, he brought him to an inn, took care of him, offered money to whatever needed to be done to pay for him. And I thought, that's what loving your neighbor is when you see the need and you jump in, you both feet. How do I help? How can I do this for you? What can I do for you? And that's really where, you know, holding the faith is a good thing, too, with sharing the faith. I mean, someone shared that man in the car. He shared the faith with me and changed my whole life. My whole trajectory of my life changed because of that wonderful man.
Hmm.
And I think we have the privilege of doing that for other people too, where we can change lives. It's a great thing.
Hmm. It's quite awesome, quite awesome. So the book is available.
It's on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and on iTunes, evidently. I haven't gotten an iTunes yet.
The name of the book again?
It's called Loving Your Neighbor, A Practical Guide to Keeping the Second Great Commandment.
Wow.
And my pen name is Reverend Dave Boston, like the city. So.
I've been reading a book on revival by Derek Prince. And, of course, Derek's been with the Lord for a long time. But this book on revival, the whole first start of the book is all about learning to love, that he believes that that's what's going to bring the great awakening is when we can release the great love of God through our lives, in our culture and in our community and in our realm of touch.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's funny. You hear all these political stuff that happens and all these, you know, bad events that happen. Well, there was a shooter at this church. I want to say it was in South Carolina. And when they interviewed the people in the church about it, they weren't saying,